Thank you for listening to the Hope City Community Church Podcast. We pray that your life will be forever changed by what you hear today. Our goal is to encourage, inspire, and challenge you to experience the real Jesus. Thanks for listening. Now, let's tune in.
Well, good morning, church. Everybody having a good weekend so far? Praise God. Well, today we're going to start a new series for you. The series is entitled Anchors. And how many of you know that God's promises are different than our promises? Aren't you grateful for that today? We're going to teach for the next 3 weeks, this week and two more, about promises that still hold in the storms of life. And I'm grateful today to be able to share this information with you because we all go through storms, yes? But there is something that is greater. There's something that's stronger than the wind and the storms and the chaos of life. And that thing is the Word of God. So we're going to anchor ourselves in the Word over the next few weeks in the promises of God. And so today the promise we're going to look at is the promise of strength. The promise of strength. How many of you have ever been promised something that didn't come to fruition? Sure you have. Sure you have. How about this? Have you ever, I know your parents will be able to relate to this one. I promise I'll be good if you'll buy me this toy. Ever heard that one before? Did it work out? Of course not. How about this? I promise to do my homework later if I can just play video games right now. Anybody else struggling with that at their house? How about this? I promise I'll pay you back. Ooh. Ooh, Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Huh? Don't look to your left or to your right now. Don't do that. Don't do that now. Just keep straight ahead on this one. Straight ahead. How about this? I promise I would never do that. Ooh, starting to get the hummingbirds in. Yeah, how about this? I promise I'd never say that about you. Ooh, Lord. Getting a little closer to home now. How about this one? I promise I'll never hurt you. Lord Jesus. Here's a big one. I promise to always love you and cherish you till death do us part. Ooh. A lot of broken promises on this world, isn't there? Floating around, hurts and the pains of people. See, broken promises shift from broken promises to frustrations and later on, spiritual injuries. And they're carried around this earth in us. And it's, if we're not careful, what'll happen is we will take our expectation of humanity and project it onto God and His promises. So when something doesn't happen right when you want it to, you just assume God's promises are like everybody else's. But I've got some good news for you. Promises are a little different. Scripture says that His promises are yes and amen. It means that when He speaks it, it's going to happen. Now, don't be confused. His timing's different than your timing. His blessing is different than the way sometimes we desire to be blessed. But we will get a response to the promises of God. Amen. Just to give you a few verses to kind of firm this up, and I could have, holy smokes, I could have gone on for 20, 30, 40 verses to prove this. Numbers chapter 23, verse 19 says, God is not human, that He should lie. Not a human being, that He should change His mind. Does He speak and then not act? Does He promise and not fulfill it? How about Psalms 102, verse 27? But you remain the same, O Lord. Your years will never end. He does not change. What He said about you in the Old Testament, He still believes about you in the New Testament. The promises that were for Abraham are for you today. Amen. How about Psalms 119, verse 89? Your word, O Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. Just a little cool thing I learned a few weeks ago. They were doing some radio studies with a satellite in outer space. This has been several years back. And they were changing the frequency that they were receiving on satellites. And they found radio broadcasts from the 1940s and 50s still floating around in outer space. Now think about that for a second. Over 2,000 years ago, we get verses that says that, Lord, your word is eternal. We're made in His image. What you say never ends. Now, it may be in a distant galaxy, far, far away, but it's still there. It's still ringing true. And I love that God created us like that, so that way he could take our prayers as they're suspended throughout eternity. And when they mean the most, when we need to cash them in the most, he can just pluck them out of the stars and say, at one point in time, they asked for this. Aren't you grateful God is God today? How about Malachi chapter 3, verse 6? I, the Lord, do not change. Matthew chapter 24, verse 35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words will never pass away. How about James chapter 1, verse 17? Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like the shifting of shadows. Why am I telling you all this today? I need you to shift and realign your mind. I need you to reset your paradigms today. Because as we talk about the promises of God, if you're not careful, you will expect from God what you've gotten from people. He's better than that. You will also begin to expect things to happen on your time. Can I tell you, he's an on-time God. He's an on-time God. It may not be when you desire it, but it will always be when it is most paramount and maximized for the kingdom's purpose. And so today, as we dig in to a specific promise, I wanted just to create an opening bookend for this series to let you know that God's promises are different than our promises. I recently heard a story about a politician who went to a small town. They were having some issues there in the town, and the politician was talking to the mayor. And he said, "Mayor," he said, "I've come to help you." And the mayor said, "Well, we've got two major problems." He said, "Well, hit me. What's the first problem?" He said, "Well, the first problem is we have no medical care in our community. There's no doctors." And the national politician said, "Stop right there." Picked up his cell phone, whipped his phone out, dialed the phone, and picked up. He said, "Yes, I need a doctor in this town stat tomorrow. Do you understand? And if he's not here, heads will roll. Am I clear?" "And he'll be here tomorrow? Thank you very much." Click. Young phone. He said, "Mayor, doctor coming tomorrow. I promise. He'll be here tomorrow." "What's the second problem?" Mayor said, "There's no cell phone coverage in our town." We have been formatted to receive promises a little differently, haven't we? Especially politically sometimes, yes? So as we frame up our hearts to approach God about his promises, let's go to the throne correctly. Let's go to the throne of grace with the expectation that his promises are different. Amen. Today, I want to talk to you about a promise that I personally need every day. It's the promise of strength. This promise is found in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29 through 31. It'll be on the screen, but I'll also read it to you. But if you're so inclined, turn there, open the app and highlight this, because this is a powerful section of scripture. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29 through 31. Let's read. It says, "He gives power to the weak. To those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength, shall mount up with wings like eagles, shall run and not be weary, shall walk, not faint." How many of you will have a little of that today? Power to the weak. Power to the weak. You know, I am of a firm disposition. I believe this wholeheartedly, that more people don't receive from God because they never acknowledge their need of God. More people don't get the power that they need because they never acknowledge a weakness. Paul said it best when he said, my weakness, he said, "God's strength is made perfect in my weakness. Therefore, I boast all the more in my weakness." Can I tell you, if you think you're perfect, God will let you play that out. If you think you are flawless, he will let you play that out. If you think you have all the strength you need, he will let you walk that out. Why? because he will wait until an opportune moment where he will receive the glory and your heart will be knit to him before he steps in and ignites your life with his power. So he gives power to the weak. Well, what areas do we need power? What areas do we need power? In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, it says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." Power that worketh in us. What is that power? Now, in Ephesians, Paul is writing to the church of Ephesus. He's writing to believers. So this power is something that God desires to give to his children. If you have not received Christ yet, and you desire this power, we can fix that today. But you have got to step into the flow of salvation before you can ever understand this power. This power is given of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit given at salvation. You and I can function in a power when everything around us says that we should faint. We can still have power. Case in point, how many of you right now, if you look at your schedule, you don't have a clue how you're still functioning? You just get up and do it every single day, day in, day out. You're in the grind before the sun comes up, after the sun goes down. You just day in, day out, over and over and over and over and over and over and over. You just find the grace to keep moving forward. If we'd be honest with ourselves, that's more of us than less of us. That's almost what it takes to make the American grind anymore. You just got to be about that work. You got to be about that business. You got to constantly be on the grind. Now, let me say this. God will give you wisdom to create margin in your schedule as well. But when you are functioning day in, day out, doing what is right, loving people, being kingdom-minded, you will find a grace to stay in that flow continually when other people will not understand it. Wendy and I, our schedule sometimes gets so chaotic that it'll be meeting after meeting, day in, day out, week in, week out, month in, month out, to where my parents will come to town and they'll say, "We don't see how you do it. We don't know any other way. We've been functioning like that so long now in the grace and the goodness of God that we just, it's our second nature. It's how we function." But there are times that I step back and I feel the weight and the pressure of that schedule. Does anybody else feel that from time to time? You just think, "Good Lord, if I could just get a day to sleep in. If I could just get one Saturday I didn't have an event. If I could just get one Sunday I didn't have to set up and tear down." Anybody relate to that? But then his grace kicks in. And I'm reminded that his grace is sufficient for my need. And so I'm constantly in this struggle between my flesh and my spirit. And the truth is, my flesh will never speak to God. My flesh will never revel in his glory. But my spirit, when my flesh is weak, my spirit is strong. And so when I find myself getting weary and tired, I just lean more into the Spirit. And see, the problem is a lot of times you can be spiritually tired and trying to fix it in the physical. I don't care what kind of pillow you got at home, sweetheart. It ain't going to fix spiritual tired. Well, I went and bought a Sleep Number mattress. Well, praise God. I hear they're wonderful. But being spiritually tired, something physical rest will not fix. On the other hand, being physically tired or spirit change. Your spirit can lift your flesh beyond the capabilities you ever knew you had. So while we're talking about strength, understand that there are two kinds of strength that I want to teach you about today. There's the physical tired There's the spiritual tired. Both of which can be fixed by nourishing the spirit. Amen. God made us in his image. He said, let us make man in our image. It's Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We're three part. Let's make him three part. We've got the body, the soul, and the spirit. God is a triune God. He's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So you and I are made in this reflective image of God. And the truth is the flesh, well, it's just dirt, right? Just dirt. But our spirit and our soul, that's something altogether different. And I believe that if we are to focus on the holistic healing of ourselves when we're tired, it is easy to always look to the natural response. It's what we touch, taste, feel, smell, experience. It is our flesh, right? The problem is a lot of times when I feel physically tired, it's not when I did something physically exhausting. Can anybody else relate to that? Now, don't get me wrong, digging ditches will wear you down. But there are days that I do a ton of physical labor, but spiritually, I'm on cloud nine. Explain that to me. You see, in the world that we live in, most of us are functioning day in, day out in our labor with our minds and our spirits, right? So our soul and our spirit functions all the time. It's ideas that we're paid for now. Very few people physical labor. We got machines for that now, right? You're digging ditches, tell somebody to get a backhoe, get it over with, right? But now what's happened is we will become completely exhausted mentally. You know what's one of the best things for me is when I'm mentally exhausted? Go mow the grass. Go do something physical. Why? Because there's this balance that has to take place. Ultimately, God wants you to rest physically, spiritually, emotionally. He wants you to labor and enter to rest all the way across. So how is it that God is going to give us this strength? John chapter 1, verse 12 says this, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So how do we get this power? First, salvation. Salvation is step number one. Salvation is the gateway to the goodness of God. At salvation, the Holy Spirit steps into our lives. And as we grow spiritually, we learn to lean on him, to listen to him, to learn our shepherd's voice. A lot of the problems that you and I deal with is we have functioned on our own strength with our own ideas and our own understanding. There is a better way. Did you know that you can function based on God's word and you'll find rest? How do I know that? Because when I'm functioning on the word, my circumstances can, all hell can be breaking loose around me, but there's still peace flowing from within me. So, this rest, giving rest to us, power to the weak. It's also imperative that we understand why he gives that power. When I was a kid, I had these amazing things called underoos. Does anybody remember underoos? I'm dating myself here. I'm 44 years old. Underoos were the coolest thing since sliced bread. They were pretty cool. It was little boys' briefs, underwear, and a matching t-shirt. And I had Superman underoos. It was the Superman emblem on a blue t-shirt, blue underwear with red piping and red elastic waist. And I'd get out of the bath and I'd don my underoos and I would take my bath towel, put it around my neck, and my dad would look at me and say, don't even do it. Don't start. You'll end up hurting yourself. And I'd run through the house, you know, fast as I could, my little fat legs turning as fast as I could. And now here's the craziest part about it. Your boy had bunk beds. Come on, somebody. That's power. So I would climb up on the top of the bunk with my cape on, and my brother, who's 20 months older than me, would not exactly impart wisdom at that moment. And I'd be like, I'm Superman. And my dad from the living room would say, don't do it. And my brother would be like, I believe you can do it. I mean, you got the underwear on. I believe you can do it. And man, I would get as far back to the wall as I could and get a running start and jump. And that's when wisdom happens. You jump out and there's no power in the underoos. It's just underwear and a t-shirt. I don't want to let you down, but it's just underwear and a t-shirt. So an injury would happen. I would hit my head. Usually something would be swollen. And my brother would come up and he would say, "How's that feel, Superman?" No, always an encourager. And what's funny is you and I read in the scripture these unbelievable stories of power. We have people outrunning chariots. We have Samson pushing walls and leveling buildings with his manual strength. And we see all this and we desire these superhuman responses to the spiritual matters. But the truth is God in this dispensation of the Holy Spirit is moving a little bit different. The power that he gives you might look like this. It might look like giving you a word for someone who's depressed. It might look like you having joy in the face of unbelievable obstacles. It might look like you being able to keep your peace when everything around you is crumbling. This is the strength that God gives, the power that he gives, and he gives it through the Holy Spirit, power to the weak. The next thing that scripture talks about in Isaiah is it talks about giving wings like eagles to us. Wings like eagles. God has never given a human wings ever. Follow me here. I want to clear up some theology for you. When you die, you will never be an angel. I don't know what your mama told you. I don't know what your daddy told you. But you need to go back to the scripture. You will rule over angels. You will not become one. Why do I say that? Because I do funerals all the time. And people always come say the same thing. Well, he got his wings today. And I'm trying to be friendly. You know, it's the funeral. And I'm like, I'm keeping my mouth shut. I ain't going to say it. But I want to say, no, he didn't. God is not giving physical wings to people. Can I tell you, in the glorified state that your body will be after this life, you ain't going to need wings. So what does this verse mean? He gave us the wings of eagles. One day Gabe came home. There was a young man on the bus that was calling him names, saying mean stuff to him. And Gabe had finally had enough. And Gabe's a large child. And there had been a little bit of an altercation. And I told Gabe, I said, listen, as a dad, like, I want to celebrate the fact that, like, you handled business. But then on the spiritual side of things, I'm sad that self-control is in the balance. And I said, let me explain something to you, son. You and I are called to stay above that chaos. Let the buzzards eat what's dead. But let the eagles have what's fresh from heaven. When this verse says that he will give us wings like eagles, he will allow us to stay above the phrase of the earth and its problems. You and I, the scripture says, are aliens in a foreign land. You are not your own. You've been bought with a price. You are now a citizen of heaven. And if you're walking out this salvation correctly, your focus is not on the things that are around you, but only on the souls that you can affect in your peripheral. It's not easy to get there. But eventually, through the studying of the Word, through spending time with the Lord, you will build more spiritual and emotional equity there than you will have here. I was talking to Maddie just the other day. I said, I'll be honest with you. She said, what do you think about what's going to happen in November? I said, I don't think about it a lot. She said, what do you mean? I said, I pray God's will be done on heaven and in earth. On earth just as it is in heaven. She goes, who do you think is going to win? I said, I don't care. I want whoever's going to usher my father to come get me. That's who I want to win. Whoever is holding it up, let them move out of the way. That's what I'm ready to do. I want whoever is going to set the church loose and set us on fire, that's who I'll vote for, okay? That's what I'm ready for. Whoever will get out of the way of us doing what God's called us to do, they'll get my vote, okay? I am not focused on things of the earth. Because I tried that, I think I'll pass. When you focus on the things of this earth, you will be left wanting. It cannot feed you. It cannot nourish you. It cannot fill you. It cannot heal you. And so what this verse is saying is that if you're weary, maybe take a look at where it is you're investing your thought. Maybe consider, are you more earthly minded than heavenly minded? Because it says when you get tired, you ever been tired of being sick and tired? There's a better way. And the better way is letting those wings, those spiritual, emotional wings, just grab hold of you and take you to higher places. But so many of us, because we learn how to gossip from grandmammy, am I lying? We just going to stay down here in the muck and the mud. And when Jesus comes, we ain't going to know how to act when we get there. Because we have been so earthly minded that we've become no heavenly good. Now, on the other hand, I've met people that are so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. There's a balance. He could have said, I'll give you wings like angels. Take you all the way into heavenlies. But he said, I'm going to give you wings like eagles. That you'll stay in this environment. But you'll stay above the mess. You're not going to feed on the roadkill of the world. You'll have fresh manna. Can I tell you, if you are weary, especially emotionally, you need to put your wings on. It's time to get over that thing which has destroyed you for so long. It's time to get over it. And we think a lot of times that we just go through things. No, we let the scripture raise our thought up to where now things, yes, things happen, but our peripheral has changed to heaven's time, to heaven's focus now. So as things happen, you don't, Holy Spirit, give me a way to say this where people can understand. You only see the eternal effect of the stimuli around you. You no longer are caught up on the temporal. See, being caught up on the temporal, everything you feel, you'll respond to. That's temporal, right? Everything somebody says, oh, I'm going to clap back. You want to live a drama-filled life? Keep clapping back. You want to get above it? Live according to the scripture. Be slow to speak, slow to wrath, quick to hear. His ways are higher than our ways. So strap on your wings and let's go a little higher. Is that okay? Is that okay? All right, let's keep going. I gotta hurry up. I'm about to close here. After he gives us wings like eagles, it says that we'll run, not be weary. We'll walk and not faint. This in the natural makes no sense. I know you may not believe this, but I'm not much of a runner. Better believe it. Matter of fact, if you see me running, start running in the same direction. This says run and not be weary. Walk and not faint. You know, there's a difference between running from something and running to something. When I was reading this week and just studying, I was like, Lord, give me some perspective on that. And I had a vision of myself running from a dog, and it was full of fear, anxiety, frustration. And then I had a vision of me running for people cheering at a finish line. And there was this sense of glory, the sense of excitement, the sense of victory. Holy Spirit said, there's your answer. I will change your perspective. And in doing so, you'll run. You won't get weary. You'll walk. You won't faint. Let me explain. I lived a large portion of my adult life chasing money. And I came from a background where we never had a lot of it. So it was attached to my emotion. Anybody else's money attached to their feelings? Maybe it's just me. And so I valued money to the place to where I thought it could fill the void in my life. So when Wendy and I first got married, we were entrepreneurs. And we're in the banking and finance industry. And had side businesses, and those businesses had side businesses. We stayed busy all the time. And it seemed as if the more I acquired, the greater the hunger. The more I would get my hands on, the less it mattered. Like it was like a dog chasing its tail. And one day I had a nervous breakdown. I was 28 years old, had a nervous breakdown. And because I felt like I couldn't get anywhere. Now from the outside looking in, you said, man, this guy lives in this house, drives these cars, motorcycles, boats. I mean, just anything the world can provide, I could get my hands on it. And just empty. And something magnificent happened. I had a nervous breakdown at 28. I spent a whole night in my closet praying and asking God to change my perspective. And I called my dad. And it's funny. I tell the story to my kids. I still to this day can't remember who was at dinner the night this happened. We had people at dinner. We had a really nice dining table. People were sitting around the dining table. And I just got up and walked off. Still don't remember who was there. It's the funniest thing. I cannot fathom who was there. Wendy can't remember either. We were talking about business, and all of a sudden something just clicked, and it just like, what are you doing? What are you doing? You are sacrificing that which is eternal for something that is temporary, Josh. What are you doing? And I remember standing up from the dining room and just felt like the world began to spin. Something supernatural was happening, and I couldn't put my finger on it. So for lack of a better term, it was a nervous breakdown. I just broke down. By the time I got to our master bedroom, I was weeping. I get on my phone. I called my dad. I said, I think I need to go to the hospital. He goes, no, you don't. And I said, how many told you? He said, no, I've been up praying for you since 5:30 this morning. This is about 7 o'clock at night. And he said, the Lord told me he was going to visit you today. He said, son, you've been keeping score the wrong way. He said, this is the only time in your life I'll do this to you, but I'm going to hang up on you. He said, you're talking to the wrong father. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Click. I was torn between a fear of lack and a desire to serve God. I was lost. And so I went in my closet. And about the time I went in my closet, my dad texted me. And it was a text from the book of Jude. And it says, and they built each other up in their most holy faith by praying in their prayer language. And so I went in my closet. It'd been a long time since I'd prayed. I mean, I'd prayed for food and stuff and prayed for things, but it'd been a long time since I just chatted with God. And I just told God in that closet, I'm tired. I'm just tired. I'm tired of no matter how much I get, it's not enough. I'm tired of keeping score with something that doesn't matter. And I just need help. And little did I know, time was going by so fast. It seemed like I was in there 10 minutes. And Wendy opened the door, and I'd been in there all night long. 10 hours. And Wendy opens the door and sees what's going on, and she just quietly closed the door. She's like, I'm not going to interrupt what's going on in there. Because she knew something was off. She knew I wasn't doing what God had called me to do. That night began a journey that led us through three different states, the selling and the building of five companies to get us to the panhandle of Florida, to serve at a church, to reignite my passion for ministry so that God could birth Hope City less than 2 years ago. But that perspective change, not easy. And I love the specificity of the scripture. It says, you'll run and you won't get weary. And I tell you, we're running faster and harder than we've ever run. But now, dollars aren't the points. Souls are. So my perspective has shifted. I'm not running from lack anymore. I'm running to glory. And even in the days where things aren't going as fast as they normally are, and I'm walking, I don't have to worry about fainting. I just keep moving. And it's not to say, boy, Pastor Josh is, boy, he's all that. No, listen. I'm telling you, I failed bigger than you. It's not too late to change your perspective. It is not too late. If you still have oxygen in your lungs, you can pivot toward heaven today. But for you to get the strength of the Father, you got to be about His business. Does that mean everybody's a preacher? Of course not. That means your perspective has got to shift. I didn't walk out of the closet that day, Pastor. That's not how that happened. I was still an entrepreneur. I was still a husband. Nothing really changed in the physical except my perspective. See, tomorrow you're going to get up, probably still go to the same job, do the same things. Your perspective can never be the same if you allow it. Here's the difference. Why are you doing what you're doing? In America, we've been sold a bill of goods. We have been promised something that will never come to fruition. Well, if you just hustle, you'll be able to retire and have peace and this, that. Wrong. But when I read in the book, it says, do everything as unto the Lord. And when I made that perspective change, when I made heaven my focus, irrelevant of what my earthly task and duty was at the time, when I made heaven my focal perspective, everything changed. I went from a person who could not win to a person who could never lose. He'll do the same for you. But you have to choose today. If you desire the strength of God, got to make heaven and its priorities your priorities. And you can do that in any job. You can do that in any marketplace. You can do that in any career field. But it's first acknowledging, seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. Then all these things will be added unto you. Do you believe it today? My prayer is that Hope City is a place with people who have heaven's perspective. And I tell you, whether or not you want it or not, it's coming. The Bible says every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. How about do it today and let's be effective? How about do it today and let's change some lives? How about do it today and let's set our city on fire for the goodness of the kingdom of heaven? Amen? Stand to your feet. I want to pray for you. Man, God is faithful. He is so faithful. Run and not be weary. Walk, not faint. That's my prayer for you today. That you'll be so heaven-minded, things of the earth won't even, you don't flinch anymore. That's all the stuff around you really is for, is for the devil to get you to flinch. And see, the truth is, if you'll do it God's way, all that stuff will be added to you. But by the time it's added to you, it has no idolatry value to you. So that way now when people put money in your hand, it's just, who can I bless with the money? Not can I just fatten an account? I tell you, boy, God, he is so good. He's so benevolent. You will never outgive him. But you got to shift your perspective. Who would wager what they can't lose for what they can't keep? Lord, we love you. I thank you for wisdom. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the strength and the power of heaven. Father, my prayer is that each person leaves here with the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray if there are people who are lost, Father, you'll just remind them of your goodness. It's the goodness of God that leads man to repentance. And so, Lord, if there are people here that need salvation, I pray that as service ends, they'll have the boldness to come see us up here and pray. Father, as each person walks out of here, I pray that their perspective by the power of the Holy Ghost will shift. That, Father, they will begin to acknowledge that there is an eternity, and those of us who are wise here on earth will acknowledge it. Your word says that eternity is written on the heart of every man, every woman. Lord, just bring it to the forefront so we think about it more often. Easy to lose eternity when there's bills to pay. Lord, even help us with that. Bring increase to cover the things of the earth so we can focus on the things of heaven. Thank you for that in advance. Father, bless us and keep us. Be gracious to us and show us your favor. Make your face shine upon us and give us peace, both now and forevermore. Cover us with the blood of Jesus. From the top of our head to the soles of our feet, I thank you that no weapon formed against us will prosper, not even earthly perspectives. Help us to walk in heaven's vision. Help us to walk in what matters in eternity. We'll give you the praise for that. Bring us back next week with more wisdom and more of your word locked away in our heart. And we'll give you the glory, the honor, and the praise for it. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, amen. God bless you. We love you. And we'll see you next week.
Thanks again for joining us today for the Hope City Community Church Podcast. We pray that what you've heard today will bless you until the next time we meet again. We hope you'll join us again soon to be encouraged, inspired, and challenged to experience the real Jesus. Take good care, and God bless.